Gamertag Radio presents E3 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
All right, everyone. Peter here with Gamertag Radio. Once again, we have Julian Garrity.
Hello.
Hi.
You've had a long day today.
I've had a long day today.
Yeah. Congratulations on your press conference.
Thank you very much.
I think we had an amazing response. The people were surprised, enthusiastic. Tell me, what was it like being on the stage, finally being able to unveil the news to the masses?
It was absolutely awesome. But it was more the reaction of everybody in the audience. There was this huge waves of love and of affection. It's very, very different from, let's say, internal presentations where people may be a little bit jaded. Mm-hmm. There was real excitement. There was real affection and acceptance. And I felt really at home. I felt super comfortable up there.
That's fantastic. And aside from the bias, obviously, because it's your title, you know, one of the things that's funny, I was talking to a friend of mine earlier today, just after the conference, and we were talking about the love that it's so pervasive amongst all of the UB teams, because you had, you know, the crew team, you had Skull and Bones, and they were all individually cheering for each other, and it shows, you know, just how much of a family you guys really are across the entire UB.
Absolutely. I mean, when I come to E3, half of the reason I want to come is to see the other teams. I used to be part of the crew.
Oh, okay.
I know all the other teams. It's awesome to be there. And if I don't know the other teams, it's an opportunity to get to know them.
Yes, yes.
And to be honest, I mean, how lucky am I to be able to spend time with top-tier video game professionals to talk to them about my challenges?
Talk and shop.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a super luxury event, so I'm delighted to be here.
Well, let's jump into the nuts and bolts of why we're here.
Yeah,
the Division 2.
Yes.
You know, we talked yesterday. You know, our podcast. You know, roundtable. We spoke internally for about an hour and change, and we released our roundtable just about the Division 2 this morning, or just after the press conference. Once again. Why Washington, D.C.? I mean, there's so many other cities that could have been selected. You've got London, Chicago, L.A. Why Washington?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd love a division game in Tokyo.
Oh, yeah.
In Paris, in Moscow. But the division is a U.S.-centric unit. So we've got to be U.S.-focused.
Right.
Doesn't mean we're not going to go elsewhere afterwards. You know, those division agents, let's just focus on Division 2. Also, disclaimer, I've had a couple of glasses of wine, so it could be a bit risky to me. In any case, doesn't mean that we won't be investigating other cities, but US-centric unit. After New York, possibly the most iconic city in the world, where'd you go? What sort of stories do you want to tell with the world that we have, post-pandemic, continuity of government? There's only one real choice. It's Washington, D.C. And on top of the narrative reasons to go there, it's just such an exciting city in terms of the diversity of the locations that you have there.
Yeah.
From the wide open spaces to the nature in Roosevelt Island to the suburbs of Georgetown, this is all new. New York, for all its qualities, is a grid. And it's these super huge buildings, so it's kind of claustrophobic. I mean, Washington, D.C., every single two blocks, you have a different feel to it. That's a huge, huge deal because every two blocks, you're going to have a different feeling. It's going to feel different.
Right.
And however that biome, that area has been propped and designed, it's going to feel different gameplay-wise too. A wide open space. The mall, the crashed Air Force One that we showed in the playable, that is a wide, wide open space. Plays completely differently from a main mission where you'll be in the metro or something.
Mm.
So that's a real opportunity for us gameplay-wise as well. So narrative, gameplay, everything lined up. But we researched a fair few cities. before deciding on Washington, D.C.?
You said there is, you know, the breadth of scale of the city. Obviously, we're 20% larger than what we played in Manhattan. In the first game,
that's at launch.
Oh.
And you know we get, you know, with the post-launch plan.
Right.
It's extensions that we're going to add on.
So one question, there's 20% larger. Does that mean that you're also including verticality, maybe going into buildings and going into multiple stories? Because I know there was a smattering of buildings in the first one that allowed you to go into the actual building.
Yeah, yeah. There's a little bit more of that. There's a fair amount more of that, for sure. For sure.
That's awesome. So there's one-to-one replication of Washington D.C. How difficult was that to get all of that information into the game and allow it to perform as well as it did that we were able to see today in our gameplay?
You know what? This is the beauty of it. It's actually easier.
Really?
Yeah, because we worked with tools. Mm-hmm. Snowdrop, again, the qualities of Snowdrop can't be denied. But using GIS data, LiDAR data, directly, that cuts man hours out of the creation of the basic footprint of the city. We get the one-to-one, I mean, pretty much for free. So it creates a more realistic, more recognizable city. And it's, you know, it cuts a lot of the boring hours. Doesn't mean that we haven't got to really adjust things by hand afterwards, but it's really cutting time out more than anything.
So we're going to see the Washington Monument, absolutely, all of those individual phenomenal buildings.
Yes.
That's so cool.
Yes.
I cannot wait to get more hands-on. So three classes, you see them behind us, you know, the marksman. Which one?
It's not quite classes.
Okay.
I want to make it
specialized.
Yes, yeah, specializations.
Correct.
I clumsily refer to them as classes, and my game director looks at me and gives me the stink eye every time because they're not mutually exclusive, right? You can mix and match if you want. Nothing's stopping you from taking one specialization and going to another and completing that one too. So, you know, if you're spending the time in the game, mm-hmm, you can have all three specializations fully maxed out on one same character.
On one character. How, and if you can talk about this, fantastic. How is that swap out of those specializations? Like, let's say you go into an encounter and you're the sniper, you've got the marksman set up, but you realize midway, okay, maybe I don't have the right loadout. Can you swap out on the fly? Or is that something maybe you got to pull back and start over?
I think you can swap out on the fly in the same way that you use loadouts in The Division.
Right.
There's no reason why it can be like that.
That's so cool. Yeah. Sorry if I start to fanboy out here. It's just I'm such a fan of The Division. I've got countless hours on Xbox as well as PC. So, like, I'm coming at this conversation with you as a fan first. Secondarily, you know, obviously trying to get content out for our fans. Which one is your favorite loadout?
To be honest, I'm not as young as I look. I'm not as young as I look, so my reflexes, not so sharp anymore. You know, I'm not playing Twitch games with the 14-year-old kids. I'm a sniper. Mm-hmm. I like to take it from afar, do Overwatch, be removed from the immediate danger,
there
if you
go.
Will. So that's my type of thing.
Nothing wrong with that. That's actually the class I selected when I got to play earlier today.
Did you have fun?
I loved it. I had so much. So Paris, our other host, he played yesterday, and I was like white knuckle on his chair, like, I want to get in, and I didn't get a chance. I knew I was going to have an opportunity, so, you know, like, part of me was like, all right, I got this. Like, I can handle this. I can let him play. And, yeah, I played today, and it was just the difference of he has a primary AR that has a scope, but then when he pulls out the big boy, when he pulls out the 50 caliber, you see the difference, and
it's
can feel
powerful,
the difference,
yeah,
as well. One of the things I noticed was the sound of the weaponry has drastically improved versus what we played in the first Division. Was there a lot of work with sound bites and getting the audio of all of that?
Two things. Our sound team, second to none. Our audio director, Simon, absolutely amazing. I mean, his nickname, Wolfblade. I think that's all you need to know. He's absolutely amazing. That's the first thing. The second thing is we work with Pinewood Studios. responsible for all the James Bonds, Star Wars, that type of thing. We have a bank of sounds that are just amazing. So I think we've pretty much got the best sound in the industry today.
Well, that coupled with the Snowdrop engine, hey, it's a recipe for success, right?
But sound is super important.
Absolutely.
To us. And honestly, Simon works harder than anybody else in the building. The whole of his team does. I think it's going to sound very, very special.
What are you looking forward to most as now we're getting into the heavy duty week of E3? After this, you'll have Gamescom and then you'll have, the holiday season. What are you looking forward to most in that time period, aside from the launch, obviously?
Yeah, to be honest, all of this, apart from having a huge injection of energy from fans like you, from the conference, I just want to get back to work. Everything else is a distraction. You know what I'm saying? It's necessary. It's part of the business. But the real fun, the real craftsmanship comes when you're working with your team, you're helping to finalize those things that are really going to make a difference for launch. And we're so close. You know, it's going to be tomorrow. It's March 15th, but yeah, it's going to be tomorrow. So I just want to get back to work.
That's awesome. It's and I don't want to sound jaded in this. It's when you hear that from the developer team, you know, from a development team, that they're anxious to get their hands back on. Like, I remember with another game last year, I had the same conversation with one of the developers, and it was like, they spent all of their off time at E3 playing their game. They weren't developing, they're playing their game, and these are people that spend, you know, 50, 60, 70 hours a week developing on it. And the first thing they're doing when they have free time is actually playing the game. That shows the level of dedication, and B, that translates to, you know, quality. So
I think that the passion and the energy that everybody on the team gets from an event like this, when they hear the fans, when they hear this sort of podcast, it's phenomenal. You can't discount that. I mean, part of the video game ecosystem is also getting energy from fans. Working in a bubble for too long, it's not good. It's not good. So this was necessary. Yeah,
you need that visceral feedback from the fans and the community.
100%.
So where will we find Julian come March? Are you going to be playing on Xbox, on PlayStation, or on PC?
For me, I play on all three. You see, I played on Xbox first when it released,
right?
Then PS4, a little bit on PC because I only play on PC at work. I think it's going to be the same thing. I think I'm going to be on Xbox first and PS4.
I need to link up with your gamer tag so we can go out. We can do the raids. Oh my God, we need to talk about that.
Keep in mind, I'm super casual.
Awesome.
I'm super, super casual. I spend a lot of time at work on the game, but then on the release game, I mean, I'm the most casual guy that you've ever seen. It's hard for me to spend the amount of time that I know that our fans want to spend in the game. But it's great because I'm surrounded by super hardcore players who are challenging me and challenging the vision.
Make you want to do better.
All the time. So, yes, let's play. But please carry me.
I'm used to that. We do that. I'm doing that with Paris now, so not a problem. All right. All right. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. Once again, tell us where we can, you know, when, where, and if you have more information, where do they go to get it?
Guys, the division2.com, I guess. I don't know what it is exactly. Comes out in March. Everyone's welcome. We're going to deliver a whole year full of free content update. This is going to be a great party for everyone.
I'm looking forward to it. You heard it here first. The Division 2, Ubisoft. See you there.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.